I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, the Harlem Globetrotters put a game on ice. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Bill, and a rousing hotty-totty to our new friends at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. And if you happen to be listening on the square in Oxford right now, go to City Groceries and have yourself something to eat. That's a plug, by the way.
Earlier in this program, we had an eyewitness account of the comeback game of 20 years ago in which Buffalo overcame a 32-point deficit to beat the Houston Oilers in overtime. Last Sunday, the Houston Texans beat Cincinnati in the first round, and they have a chance to create some good playoff memories against the Patriots, or do they?
No, they don't. Matt Schaub has absolutely no chance of arranging for the Texans to have enough points to beat the Patriots.
In the other Sunday divisional playoff game, Atlanta hosts Seattle. Will Pete Carroll's totally awesome Seahawks be pumped and stoked, as Carroll might say, or will the relatively boring Falcons prevail?
Well, what's interesting is Nate Silver, who knows everything and is never wrong, has predicted a Seattle-New England Super Bowl, so we'll see how this works out.
He was on the program, by the way, not so long ago.
To talk about baseball.
Yeah, and the fact that he didn't get the MVP thing right.
Yeah.
He did good with politics, not so good with baseball.
Well, now he's branching into football. I think he's just screwing with people at this point.
Charlie, on Thursday, Junior Seau's ex-wife made public the laboratory results indicating that Seau, who committed suicide last May, had been suffering from chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Over the last couple of years, the NFL has been trying to address this issue, or at least they say they have. Does Seau's diagnosis have any impact on that effort?
If the issue needed any more intensity behind it, this will do it, because Junior Seau was an iconic figure in the game. I look at this and I look at the results of this test and I see what happened and I realize that there is absolutely no way, if you're going to continue to play football, there's no way to avoid this. You can't design a helmet that will prevent this.
No,
you can't,
I think
you can't change
right.
the rules enough to prevent this without turning it into something completely different.
It may surprise people to learn that Seau, who played in the NFL for 20 years, was never listed as having a concussion. This, of course, puts the NFL's efforts in a very different perspective, right?
Well, certainly. I mean, you've got to explore now whether or not it was buried by his teams, or whether or not he simply didn't tell anyone, or whether or not people simply weren't paying attention, which I think is probably a little bit of all of that. And that's the culture that has to change. But again, even if you change the culture, even if you turn all of the things I just mentioned around, you can't prevent head injuries in playing the game of American football. You can't do it.
On Sunday, we got the news that hockey fans have been anticipating for months. There will be an NHL season after all, albeit an abbreviated 48-game season beginning next Saturday. Apologies have come from some team owners, some players, from the commissioner. Did any of those seem sincere to you?
None of the apologies from management seem sincere at all. They got what they wanted, basically, which was a lockout to force some changes. I think Don Fehr did a pretty good job, given the fact he had virtually no cards to play, especially in the area of pensions. 48 games is enough. I think if it had gone another couple of weeks, then maybe we were looking at a joke of a season. But I think 48 games are enough. And I think that knowing hockey fans the way I do, when they drop the puck at 7:30, wherever the first game is, people will forget about the lockout at approximately 7:30.44.
Well, what about any predictions about the quality of the play in the early going? Because these are very short training camps they're getting this time around, and the players have been spread out all over the place.
Well, I think you're going to see a couple of weeks of real sloppy hockey, a couple of weeks of really high-scoring hockey, because the first thing that breaks down when you haven't enough training camp is defense. So if you're looking for 8-6 hockey games, you may see a few for a while.
Only a Game's crack producers have provided you with all the information you need to discuss the 2013 Hall of Fame vote. Do you want to take a quick look at that, please? That's the paper of record you're holding there, right?
And, there are no words on here.
Yes, exactly. Could you read the headline for me?
And the inductees are...
Dot, dot, dot.
And there's nothing here.
And
oh, look! They're doing something funny!
Who knew the New York Times had a sense of humor?
Yeah, whoever thought this up is going to get fired within a month, I'll tell you that. No fun of any kind.
Were you surprised at the result of that vote by the Baseball Writers of America?
No, I was more nauseated by the result from the Baseball Writers Association of America. Stop taking yourself so seriously. I'm begging you. Stop it right now. You're just embarrassing yourself. It's a museum. It's for dead people and old things.
Those applauding most loudly at the Hall of Fame news were some of the current residents, Goose Gossage, Al Kaline, Dennis Eckersley among them. But Juan Marichal did stand up for, quote, guys who were never found guilty of anything. Do you suppose they'll take his plaque off the wall?
No, but he was the only one, a whole bunch of them who made sense. I mean, this is obviously the great thought experiment of this, is if you had these things, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, would some of the icons of our childhood take them? And based on the way many of the icons of our childhood took to things like, oh, I don't know, card shows and stuff, I think the answer was probably a big old yes.
On Monday, Alabama trounced Notre Dame in the BCS title game by a tidy little score of 42-14. We had a story in last week's program about some Benedictine nuns who said they would be rooting for Notre Dame. Do you think they forgot?
No, I think you got to sign up the Sisters of St. Joseph. If you're going to go with the nuns, go with the SWAT team.
The game itself was such a romp by Alabama that TV broadcaster Brent Musburger apparently felt he had to give fans a reason other than football to stay tuned in. How'd that work out for him?
Not really well. He's 73, and he got just a little skeevy about A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, who happens to be Miss Alabama. That sort of made me, like, take some Windex to my TV screen.
Last week, we spoke about Pro Patria, a lower-level Italian league soccer team whose fans directed racial abuse at Kevin Prince Boateng and his AC Milan teammates, and they responded by walking off the field. Pro Patria has been ordered to play one game with no fans present. Good choice of penalties?
I think it's terrific penalty, and I think they, once they bring the fans back, if it happens again, they should play two games without fans.
And finally, Charlie, two world records were broken at Homestead Miami Speedway this week. What, did some cars go really fast or something?
Skateboarding, Bill.
Is this where I get to say sports?
No, actually, the world record for the Homestead Miami Speedway was called the 24-Hour Ultra Skate, and it was organized to break the world record for distance traveled on a skateboard in a 24-hour time period. A firefighter named Andrew Andrus of Miami-Dade County went 261.8 miles in 24 hours, and a woman from New Jersey named Colleen Pellick broke the woman's record going 167 miles. It's a 2.2-mile infield road course, you know, around in a circle, obviously. I think if you can fend off boredom for that long, you deserve whatever you can get. And yes, indeed, sports!
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Paul.